released. They have a long recovery ahead, says President Biden.
All of these hostages have been through a terrible ordeal. And this is the beginning of a long journey of healing for them. The teddy bears waiting to greet those children at the hospital are a stark reminder of the trauma these children have been through.
24 hostages were released today, 13 of them Israelis, none of them Americans. President Biden says he expects more hostages will be freed in the coming days. In exchange, Israel is observing a four-day ceasefire and is releasing Palestinian prisoners. More from the BBC's Tom Bateman in Jerusalem.
There isn't anything in the agreement about either men to be released or soldiers held by Hamas. So at that point, that's why we've been hearing really from both sides this sense that they will continue the war when this phase comes to an end.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The journey to a smoke-free life can be difficult. Kick the habit with the help of Vape Walkie. Vape Walkie isn't just a vape shop, they're a community, and their knowledgeable staff can assist you in finding the perfect products to suit your needs. With a wide variety of vaping products at the best prices, they cater to everyone from novices to cloud enthusiasts. Mention this ad and join the rewards program to receive 100 free points when you sign up.
Vape Walkie.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. After binging on today's Black Friday sales, Wisconsin leaders are urging people to spend the rest of the season shopping small. Now through December 31st is Shop Small Wisconsin season. Governor Evers says shopping locally benefits local economies and communities overall. More people with disabilities are flying than ever before, and they're filing more complaints with federal authorities. Kendra Davenport of Easter Seals says air travel needs to be more accessible.
When the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed, it really mandated that most modes of transit adopt modalities that would make them more accessible, and air travel was given a pass.
Advocates want Congress to legislate improvements by 2026. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. A holiday tradition continues with an expanded schedule this weekend, including games on Black Friday. Football and Thanksgiving have been served up together for more than 140 years. The first featuring college teams, Yale and Princeton. The NFL, National Football League, took over the holiday games in 1920. By the 1930s, Detroit became host to the yearly game. And the Packers kicked off one of the longest runs as a regular Lions opponent on Thanksgiving. A few games stand out, and some football experts point at the 1962 matchup. An undefeated Packers team lost in Detroit when the Lions beat Green Bay 26-14 after sacking quarterback Bart Starr 11 times. The Packers and Lions also hold the record for one of the holiday games with the highest score. Green Bay won this one in 1986, 44-40. For the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Terry Barr.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
It's the last game of the regular season for Wisconsin. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Badgers in Minnesota tomorrow. Head coach Luke Fickell.
The thing that when I look at Minnesota offensively in particular, I think the balance that they have and the ability, the quarterback's a good athlete, the quarterback can make every throw. They are committed to the run game, but are pretty dynamic in the throwing game. You know, ask me what leaves you up at night. That's the balance that that keeps me up at night.
Kickoff at 2:30. NFL. The Packers now 5-6 after beating the Lions 29-22 on Thanksgiving. Jordan Love with three touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 125, asked how good were his receivers.
Receivers balled out today. You know, that's that confidence. We just keep building that. And they're going up there making plays right now, and it's huge.
The Lions have been struggling with turnovers, losing three fumbles to Green Bay. Quarterback Jared Goff.
Yeah, you know, you look at them individually, like the one where I'm throwing the ball, scrambling, I got to take care of the ball better, no doubt.
That's Lions quarterback Jared Goff. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
19 tonight. Under overcast skies, northwest winds around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy tomorrow, 36. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow night through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
It's a wonderful Waukesha tradition and kicks off the holiday season. The 60th annual Christmas parade is Sunday, December 3rd.
Hi, I'm Don Brown. Join me live for all the fun. I'll be catching up with business owners, city leaders, and you before the parade even starts.
Your Waukesha Christmas pre-parade coverage is live Sunday, December 3rd from 3 to 4 p.m. and only on the Shaw 101.1 FM, WAUK 540 AM, and the Civic Media app.
More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Happy Black Friday, Wisconsin. We hope you're enjoying time with family and maybe saving a little at your favorite local stores. We're not in the studio today, so we hope you'll enjoy this special Best Of episode.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Never forget, you can go get that app for free from your favorite app store, and then you can hear us wherever you are on planet Earth, crystal clear. Well, I am so excited, like tickled is an understatement, to be joined by the musical director, one of the original founding members, and musician extraordinaire, Al Petrelli of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Welcome, Al, and my break a leg on tour, my friend. It's so fun to have you here.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me. And I appreciate the sentiment, but I did break my leg in the middle of a show in 2008, and I shan't repeat that. So,
oi, well, I did it last year, not last year, 2021. Tib fib compound fracture. I'm with you, man. Like, one and done. Never want to do that stuff again. Brutal recovery. How you doing now? You good?
Yeah.
Oh,
awesome.
Wonderful. Awesome. Well, first of all, I want to say everybody out there in Wisconsin listening land, I think it is the coolest thing that TSO is beginning their Christmas season tour in Green Bay, Wisconsin on November 15th. Like, how dope is that? Thank you for picking Wisconsin to start your show. Why Green Bay? Why kick it off there?
You know, I have absolutely nothing to do with the routing or any of that. I just know that our management team, they're usually a year and a half before the tour actually starts looking at the routing for something of this size. And listen, the Resch has been a great home for us forever. I mean, to walk through the parking lot and then look at Lambeau Field and, you know,
yes,
have all that that is Green Bay, it's outstanding to do so. So I'm glad it worked out. Opening night on November 15th, we're going to start working ridiculously hard starting tomorrow. To make sure that we run this show two or three times a day for the better part of 3 weeks. So opening that will be a perfect first show because it's mandatory and paramount to us to outdo ourselves from last year. And that's what we pretty much work year round to really make the show even bigger and better than it has been. And last year was pretty over the top.
Your sound is so interesting and layered in it, and it comes from so many different genres. It's this wonderfully integrative sound, and it's immersive, right? The concerts, the sound systems. How many trucks are you guys rolling up to these venues? How long does it take to set up and break down the stage? Like, how awesome is your road crew to do this? I can't even imagine. And that's without getting to how many of you there are. But how? give us an idea how many trucks you got.
Well, to put it in perspective, this TSO opened its eyes, if you will, for the first time in winter of 95 when the song Christmas Eve Sarajevo went to radio and changed everybody's life involved. We did our first shows in 1999, and we had one 24-foot box truck, two buses, and a fire machine. Okay. Last year, I counted 21 tractor trailers, 12 buses, and 100 people on the crew, and a lot more fog machines. You know, so it has grown up over the past several decades, just like one of your kids growing up, you know, from infancy So all of a sudden, here we are. So when you look at the schedule and you look at the amount of people involved with it, you know, it's just been a slow growth over decades. How many trucks do we have this year? Probably 22 or 23. You know, crew, 80% of the crew has been with us for the better part of 20 something years. You know, they love this as much as we do. When people ask the setup time, I tell them they have 30 days to set up the rig for the first show. They got 8 hours for the second show, you know? So they're rehearsing the show as much as we're rehearsing the show. Yes. When we get some, you know, they even have like the truck parking down to, you know, it being choreographed to who backs in first, who does what. It's a science, and watching it unfurl is fascinating to me. Like, that's why I'm so psyched. We just talked about it off air. I'm getting on an airplane tomorrow to fly to Omaha, and I'm not even going to the hotel. I want to go right to the Mid-America Center where we're rehearsing and walk into the arena. And for the first time this year, see exactly what's going on. You know, I feel like a 15-year-old every time I do that, you know. So it's as exciting and brand new for me and everyone else on stage and underneath the stage it is for you guys in the audience.
There is something, the way that, like, empty arenas and, like, massively huge theaters smell like. I have never been able to accurately describe it to anybody. But it is a thing, right? And there's that, like, sort of electrical energy, and, like, the more people that start to come in, and it's like, oh yeah, man, I can, this is going to happen in a couple hours. I love that feeling. You guys do create such a unique atmosphere. Has that evolved over time, or did you come out, like, fully birthed, like, we're going to have pyro and it's going to have this incredible sound? Like, how did you get here?
That is the $20 question of the day, girl. In answer to your question, as far as did we, my job has always been on the musical side. I've been Paul O'Neill's musical director from the jump. And what you got to understand about Paul, he was a couple years older than me, but we both grew up in or around New York City in the 70s.
Oh, I was going to ask you about your accent. I lived in Manhattan for a few years. I was like, my man, I haven't had anybody talk like this to me in a while. Go ahead now.
It's going to come back, I promise you.
Okay, cool.
But listen, so you know the city then. You know, you got Madison Square Garden. And back in the day, you know, Zeppelin would come through, AC/DC, Aerosmith, Pink Floyd, The Who, you know. And when they come to New York, they'd always put on even more production because that was hometown for most of the record companies back then. Sure. And uptown, you had Lincoln Center, you know, and you had the maestro, Leonard Bernstein, conducting the New York Philharmonic. And somewhere in between it, so you got the Theater District in Broadway with Andrew Lloyd Webber's works coming to life, you know. And when you grow up in that environment, and when you grow up a child of the 60s listening to AM radio, because it was before FM radio, you're just, the only two styles of music that we had growing up was good and bad. That was it. So it's either you liked what was coming through the little car stereo, or you didn't like it. And it was songs from West Side Story and A Sound of Music. It was Beatles. It was Motown. It was all, just everything. Yeah. So if you thought that was Paul and my kind of like musical introduction to everything, when he decided to sit down and create the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, it wasn't painted into any particular corner. He wasn't getting jammed up in any one particular genre of music, because all his songs, all his characters have to have a different underscoring. And that's what makes fun and so fascinating for me as a musician. One minute, you know, I'd be playing, you know, honky tonk blues piano. Next minute, I'm playing, you know, that stuff on the guitar and everything in between. One second, I'm recording a Mozart symphony, you know, or Beethoven symphony. So when you think about musically how diverse it is, and you go back to, you know, us cutting our teeth in the city, when we did our first show, you know, it was like a fog machine was, that was a big effect in 99, you know, and a couple lights. And then the next year, more shows were added, and Paul put everything back into the show. So there's more fog machines. Once he got introduced to pyro, it was on, you know.
Right.
He didn't just want to do what Kiss had done, you know, just blow stuff up. He wanted the pyro to be another member of the band, so it's dancing to Beethoven.
It serves a purpose. It's so intentional. Yes.
100%. It's all part of the show. And I'm glad you said that, because, you know, as a listener in the audience, the listener may or may not realize why this is so impactful or why they're enjoying it so much, because everything is hot on, synced up perfectly, musically and visually. And it creates a whole nother dimension of the experience that is a TSO show.
it scratches sort of that subliminal itch in a way when like all of your senses are firing, right? You've got, and you can feel like the human connection. Live music is so beautiful for that, right? And music that is integrative in the way that TSO is. I just before you came on air, I'd shared with some folks, I grew up playing the violin and I was about burned out because I'd come up playing classical and my mom found this group and we played everything. Show tunes, bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, church music, all the R&B. And it was like all the little parts of my brain started to light up because it was like, oh yeah, this is much more fun when you get to do all of it. And you guys are such an incredible sort of very experiential, very physical manifestation of that. For folks that haven't listened to it, you've already heard it, I guarantee, right? Like everybody's heard TSO tunes. And if you haven't been to a show, like I cannot more highly recommend it. It's such a, you're so energized from what you all do on that stage. It's so appreciated. I do want to mention, if you want to get those tickets in Green Bay, November 15th, that's where TSO kicks off this amazing tour. They're also playing November 27th at the Fiserv Forum right here in downtown Milwaukee near the end of their tour. They're doing 62 cities, 104 performances between November 15th and December 30th. I'm exhausted even thinking about it. Holy. Yes. How many performing musicians are in TSO right now?
Well, on stage at any given time, you're going to have about 24, 25 people, which is including, you know, the string section.
Yes.
You know, what people don't really know until I make a point of introducing them to it is the, you know, 90 or so bodies underneath and above and behind the stage that allow this thing to come to life sometimes twice a day, you know. And like you said, you know, you may not really understand all the where the devil's in the details and why this whole thing has come together, but I feel it's my responsibility to bring to everybody's attention how many people it really takes to put a show on like this, never to miss a downbeat. You know, I would do this show 3 times a day. I live for this. I turn into a 15-year-old every time I put that guitar around my neck. I don't think that the crew shares my enthusiasm, you know, as much, because they in the morning and loading out at midnight and then driving 400 miles to the next show. So, but like I had said earlier, most of them have been with me for decades and they love this thing as much as I do. So there's a lot that goes into it, but house lights go down, curtain comes up, and something blows up on stage. It's the best time ever. Love it.
Yeah, it requires so much precision to pull off what you all do that I deeply respect how much thanks you're expressing for all the people that have to contribute to make that work in such a seamless way for that audience experience. It's really something special. Anybody that's ever done even the smallest production, and that could have been when you were a kid in your backyard, somebody's got to be standing back there telling people where to go and when to do it, right? Like it doesn't matter. It takes so much effort to do that. I wanted to share some facts about why, new facts that maybe all the listeners haven't heard about why TSO is so special. And the first thing I wanted to start with was the fact that of every ticket you sell, a dollar is donated to charity. And so over this incredible touring history that you have, frankly, record setting, you will always be sort of in the annals of touring musical live performances. Over that history, begun in, was it 1999? To date, y'all have given away over $18 million to charities. And that is just, who had the foresight to go, hey man, we can share the wealth a little bit here and have an impact? Because that's really incredible.
Yeah, who's the cool socialist on your team, Al? Do you need another?
I'll say that last part again.
Oh, if you needed another, I just, you know, former roadie could always be a current one, Al, in case you ever need somebody.
No. Listen, all credit to where credit's due is Paul O'Neill and the O'Neill family. You know, when I met Paul, it was in the middle 80s in New York City. We were both kind of cutting our teeth, kicking around town. We'd run into each other at some club or some studio, venue, whatever. And, you know, we became buds. And, like, we'd be walking to get a slice of pizza or whatever we were doing. like clockwork. We'd be shoulder to shoulder on 3rd Avenue going somewhere. And I turn over to talk to him, and I'm like, where'd you go? And I look, and he's half a block behind me. And this happened almost every time we were out together. And he's handing some random stranger a $10 bill, a $5 bill, a $20 have in his pocket. And he would tell me, he goes, look, dude.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Please enjoy this special best of episode of The Maggie Dawn Show.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Love it.
That's the reaction we were hoping for.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. I mean, everybody has heard that cut of an intro, right? And it's like, oh, yay. I'm so glad this one's on the radio. There's so much holiday music that I can't bear anymore. But TSO stuff is always such a pleasure to hear. I'm so humbled to be joined by the musical director and one of the original founding members of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Al Petrelli, joining me from Pennsylvania. We were talking in the break a little bit about New York City and Manhattan in particular. It's so fun to talk to you, hear you talking about different spots in the city. I'm born and raised in Milwaukee, but I ended up having the opportunity to move to New York for work. And it was such, it was like, oh, this is this old pair of jeans that I didn't know fit me this well. You know, it was like, I got a lot of oxygen and a lot of energy and will always take a little bit of New York with me. So such a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining me, Al.
No worries. It's been a pleasure. And thank you so very much for everything.
Yeah. So leading up to your joining me this evening, I was emailing with one of your colleagues trying to set up the show, and I emailed him and I said, hey, we're going to do TSO stuff for intros and outros for the different blocks. And he said, does Al have like a couple, 2-3 songs that are his absolute favorites? And your guy wrote back and he's like, no, he doesn't. They're all his babies. He's the musical director. And to me, that was like, oh, that told me a lot about you, because there is so much heart into these arrangements. Some of the more familiar music, right? But it sounds so differently. But I got to ask you, Al, I got you here. Come on, there's got to be one that like you particularly love, or at least it's like, boy, I really put it out there when I got that arranged like that. Or, you know, reconstructed it. There's got to be one.
Well, it's a fun question because, you know, it's like asking me which one of my children are my favorite. Kind of depends on what day it is, you know, who's been the least. If I had to pick one song, not child, I think the one you were just playing, Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 1224, because that's the lightning strike that occurred 28 years ago, almost to the day, when it first was released accidentally to radio.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, what?
How does something get released accidentally to radio?
I mean, I've definitely released things accidentally on this radio, but...
Well, you got to think about the time, 95. You know, the 80s generation of guitar rock and roll was pretty much over with. The entire Seattle movement was taking over, and that's fine. So... here I am in the recording studio in 95 working with Paul O'Neill on this very dark, dramatic piece of music that was basically written to underscore a story that he was trying to tell about the war in Sarajevo.
Right.
Right? You know, when he put the faders up and I looked at him, I was like, dude, what's with the Christmas song? He explained the entire story, you know, about how classical cellists would go down to the town square in Sarajevo and play Bach and Beethoven and Chopin pieces in protest to the bombing. And what Paul didn't know is that I was Alice Cooper's musical director before the war, and I played in Zagreb and Belgrade, and I was in the town square that he was describing in the story, you know? And I said, dude, press record. And that's where I just started kind of noodling with that little theme. He started humming God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. And we were fist bumping and high-fiving. He's like, that is the most incredible piece of music ever. I said, I don't know who's ever going to hear it, You know, who's going to listen to that version of a Christmas song? Well, there was a DJ in Tampa, Florida named Mason Dixon, who it landed in his hand accidentally. He played it for whatever the reason, and his phone lines lit up that he'd never seen a reaction like that. He sent it to Scott Shannon up at WPLJ in New York, which is the parent station. And he goes, you got to play this song just once and see what happens. And it was on. We had the number one requested song in America, I think, within 24 hours. You know you got a hit on your hands when talk radio is playing the song. Yeah. It was extraordinary. And then, this, you know, Christmas time's over, and that was the end of it. But Paul said, no, I'm writing an entire record around that one piece of music. And the record's going to be called Christmas Eve and Other Stories, and the band's going to be called the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And I went, I'm in. You know, what? This is, you created an art form. You created fantastic art that didn't exist before.
You and evolved the thing, right? That is, that is extraordinary. I think for so many of us, the holidays can be really difficult. And so there is this incredible humanity in the melancholia. I think the angst, some of the like anger in that, it's just this intensely emotional experience that really connects with anybody that hears it. And I think we all owe you and Paul a debt of thanks because it is so cathartic in so many ways for many of us.
And that you said that, and I appreciate it, because one of the things that I didn't realize, now remember, I recorded this music, I was 34, 35 years old, you know, 28 years ago. And getting older, I realized that so many people relate to Paul's story about missing somebody, because everybody misses somebody.
Yeah.
You know, and especially around the holidays, you know, there's an empty chair in my dining room table upstairs for a reason that will always stay empty, because there's people in my life that have left for whatever the reason. Either we don't talk because life kicked in or they passed on. But everybody in the arena, everybody listening to Paul's beautifully written story can relate and make it about themselves, because you can't get away from it. In life, you're going to miss people. And I always say that I'd rather miss somebody than have never had them in my life, you know? And you're right, it is very bittersweet, and there is a certain amount of stress and melancholy. But when you look around the arena, when the story's coming to life, you know, you think that you're alone in that sentiment of missing somebody, when you realize the other 17,000 people are going through the same thing. It doesn't negate what you're feeling, but there's some sense of, I don't know, maybe community or family, that we're all kind of going through this together, and it makes it a little easier to deal with. And it's okay to be sad, you know? There's nothing you can do about it.
We're going to have to end right there with it. Being together makes the sad stuff much easier to bear. A burden shared is a burden borne. It has been my great honor to be joined by Al Petrelli of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Get those tickets, folks. They kick off the concert Green Bay, Wisconsin on November 15th. In Milwaukee, December 27th at the Five Surf. Go check it out. Thank you, Al, so very much. It's been a pleasure, sir.
Enjoyed this greatly. Have a wonderful.
You too. Take care, friend.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Reedsburg man wanted for the death of his pregnant girlfriend is arrested in Missouri. Authorities there say they caught Jose Dominguez Garcia in a vehicle with stolen plates early yesterday morning. He'd been on the run since about the same time Rosalie Rodriguez's body was found in a suitcase near Eau Claire in 2020. Dominguez Garcia is charged with first-degree murder, murder of an unborn child, and hiding a corpse. A Door County woman is thankful for all the help she's getting from her neighbors. Stephanie Laskonski of Bailey's Harbor is a mother of six who's paralyzed from the chest down due to several autoimmune diseases. She's getting donations collected from spectators at yesterday's Thanksgiving Day parade in Jacksonport. The community chooses one family in need to benefit each year. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. A small company creates a big business because of its leftover Thanksgiving turkey and what it means to meals today. An Instacart survey shows 98% of grocery store shoppers buy a half dozen frozen meals every year. But in 1954, it takes an over-order by Swanson Foods for the idea of a reheatable dinner to become reality. Employees at the time are facing 260 tons of extra turkey, and rather than eat the huge financial loss, individual turkey dinners are created using airline meals as an example. Each tray includes the turkey along with dressing, potatoes, gravy, and peas in individual sections. It's frozen, shipped off to grocery stores, and before the end of the year, 10 million of these trays, now being called TV dinners, are sold at just 98 cents apiece. For the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Terry Barr.
The journey to a smoke-free life can be difficult. Kick the habit with the help of Vape Walkie. Vape Walkie isn't just a vape shop. They're a community, and their knowledgeable staff can assist you in finding the perfect products to suit your needs. With a wide variety of vaping products at the best prices, they cater to everyone from novices to cloud enthusiasts. Mention this ad and join the rewards program to receive 100 free points when you sign up. Vape Walkie, 215 Oakton Avenue, Suite C in Pewaukee. Call 262-696-6620 or log on to vapewalkie.com to find more.
It's the last game of the regular season for Wisconsin. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Badgers in Minnesota tomorrow. Head coach Luke Fickell.
The thing that when I look at Minnesota offensively in particular, I think the balance that they have and the ability, the quarterback's a good athlete, the quarterback can make every throw. They are committed to the run game, but are pretty dynamic in the throwing game. You know, ask me what leaves you up at night. That's the balance that that keeps me up at night.
Kickoff at 2:30. NFL, the Packers now 5-6 after beating the Lions 29-22 on Thanksgiving. Jordan Love with three touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 125, asked how good were his receivers.
Receivers balled out today. You know, that's that confidence. We just keep building that. And they're going up there making plays right now, and it's huge.
The Lions have been struggling with turnovers, losing three fumbles to Green Bay. Quarterback Jared Goff.
Yeah, you know, you look at them individually, like the one where I'm throwing the ball, crambling, I got to take care of the ball better, no doubt.
That's Lions quarterback Jared Goff. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
19 tonight, under overcast skies, northwest winds around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy tomorrow, 36. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow night through Sunday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to this special episode of The Maggie Dawn Show. This is a pre-recorded best of episode highlighting some of our favorite guests. We hope you'll enjoy. Tanya is indeed amazing. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. If you didn't catch her this week, she was hosting. She was on the board and hosting, doing all of the works. This past Tuesday and Wednesday, you can go to the Maggie Dawn Show and hear Anya. We're working on making this a more formal arrangement, my good friend and producer extraordinaire. I'm always happy to have you on the air. Very happy to have you today, Anya.
I'm always happy to be on the air with you, Maggie.
Oh, big hearts.
Big hearts.
So, ladies, do you self-silence? Do you feel like
you have the curse of competence, meaning you always have to demonstrate competence, the curse of control, the crisis of congeniality, that your purpose must be perfection, right? The disaster of disappointment, that you can never do those kinds of things. And if you do, you're unworthy, you don't bring value, that you must feel shame. It's interesting, Susan, that you mentioned before the break, we had a caller, Joe from Madison, talking about what I think are interestingly interrelated things, right? In Simone Biles, you had a world-class athlete that said, I'm not safe to go do this work. Her work as a gymnast, right, in the Olympics. She was roundly criticized. Now, Michael Phelps and a lot of Olympic athletes, there's a docu-series or a documentary out there called The Curse of Gold or something like that, the mental health cost of gold, and it talks a bit about this. This isn't unique to women sometimes. Especially in sports. I was a college athlete. I played hurt. I played concussed. And the expectation was as soon as I lost my physical usefulness, right, I had no value and therefore couldn't establish meaningful boundaries. Oh boy, does that translate into the sexual realm as well, right? Women, if you've, I have said yes, even when I didn't want to. This doesn't just show up for women in leaderships or in professions or in our family lives. I think for a lot of young women, it shows up in sexual safety or the lack thereof. If you don't feel safe and empowered in setting a boundary, that we haven't done our work and we haven't done the right support for young women.
And it starts even earlier before that sexual offense. It's the joking, the sexual joking, and women oftentimes will laugh like it's okay instead of looking like, excuse me, stop that.
The objectification, is a problem.
Because usually that those predators will start with, oh, okay, I got away with that. Now
boundary pushing.
Exactly.
Right. That is when you don't feel safe, when you feel a boundary has been crossed, it is very much okay. And those that truly love and care about you as a human being will help support your boundary setting. They won't continue to cross it. And that is such a challenge for so many of us. You know, if we look back historically, and we could spend an entire show talking about the Catholic Church, but, you know, women being in abusive marriages, effectively sanctioned raped within marriage, right? All of these things are about women are not human beings with boundaries that need to be respected and honored in a way that is on equal footing with men. If you want to join the conversation, we're going to go to the phone lines, 844-967-2789. Cindy, you're on the line. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say? And please welcome Susan, my guest.
Well, welcome, Susan. And hi, Cindy. I would like to say that I think this is the residual effects from the years of women being barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen. And I would say that these are something I have never experienced because I've always been, for as long as I can remember, a very outspoken person. And, of course, if you probably know, it has not always served me well over my lifetime, especially in careers where men were in charge. But I have never been one to not speak my mind because I think that's what I was given a mind for and a mouth for. And, wonderful. You know, I'm 67 years old, never been married. There's probably a reason for that as well. But I honestly believe that women have got to get out of that mold and start taking the Barbie effect and do what we got to do.
Yeah, I think a lot has Yes, thank you very much. I love the imagery of getting out of the kitchen barefoot because I do think women have more choices when they believe that they can financially support themselves. If you don't believe you can financially support yourself, what that does is that triggers the fear of safety and security. And I'm talking safety and security, meaning putting food on the table, putting a roof over your head. And then we've got to get to that next tier, which is that whole idea of love and belonging, because our society is about couples. So guess what? You know, if you decide to not be married like you did, Cindy, or get a divorce or say no, and it could maybe lead to that ending of that relationship, you know, you might feel alone a little bit.
It's as a single woman who's been single my entire life and been in a lot of different environments where people questioned that or wondered about it, I still get asked on occasion, hey, are you dating anyone interesting? And I'm always tempted to say no, but I'm sleeping with a lot of really uninteresting men. Right? It's like, oh, no. My job's going well. You know, I got the state's largest, single most historical settlement from the opioid manufacturers and distributors. But thanks for asking about whether or not I'm dating someone.
Yeah. I've been divorced 3 times. And if I'm perfectly honest, I said yes because I didn't know how to say no. I remember really, and it's not that I can't say they were bad guys. They were nice guys, but they weren't my right guy. And I said yes. I've been asked to be married 7 times. I learned to say no. I learned to say no.
There are solutions here. And one of the first ones, and I don't want to spend too much or all of the hour talking about the problem, right? Like, so let's solution together. And women, if you have experiences like Cindy, speaking up and speaking out, I am very, very comfortable and happy being unmarried. I can't imagine another state of being, right? If you want to share those experiences about empowerment and having your voice or being in a workplace where that's valued, 844-967-2789. I have been very blessed to have a day job where my voice is valued and respected, and I try to share my sense of safety with everyone that works with me in the office so that we all feel like we're being deeply respected and that boundaries and expectations and needs and all those things have value. But just very briefly, I want to talk about a couple of solutions. One is for women, that our emotions, our gut instincts, those things that, you know, the back of the neck, our lizard brain that I like to call it, the reptilian brain when it's screaming at you about something, those are not things to be managed and repressed. They're windows of insight. And there is something really important that's speaking to you in those moments. And it is really critical to not just honor that, but listen to it. So that's thing one. Thing two, when you feel angry and frustrated, that may be a completely appropriate emotion that can be.
Something has to change. Right. And that's what that emotion is telling you. People don't really understand the emotion of anger. They think of it as being this enraged sort of thing, but it's really just a signal within our body that says something has to change.
And there is a need that's being unmet. It is perfectly okay to feel anger and frustration and say, what is it that I need now? What needs to change?
Yeah. And I always use the phrase to say, okay, I'm feeling angry. What needs to change and how might I get it? Because that's the empowering piece right there. When you ask yourself, how might I get that?
And that's the sort of third part about solutioning here. And that is, even in a disempowered or power asymmetrical relationship, say between yourself and a boss, you always have choice. And it's why financial literacy and financial planning for women is so critical, that we have some kind of financial little nut to get us through 2 to 3 months. If our choice is, this is not a safe workplace, this is an abusive workplace, I need to leave, because exiting is always a choice. And you want to be able to do that with agency, which means you're not left in a destitute state. So that's part three, which is, you do have choice. Even in moments and in situations that you feel robbed of choice, you have choice. If you need support in fulfilling your agency and making hard choices, if you don't ask, people can't step up and help you.
Yeah. And let's talk about that person who maybe doesn't have that savings or have those financial resources. I really believe that there's something bigger than ourselves out there that will help us. That if when we surrender, we know something's not working for us. Maybe it's a personal relationship. Maybe we're setting a boundary. Maybe at work we're setting a boundary because they're demanding too much of us. And we're thinking, oh, I'm scared. If I do this, I'm going to lose my job. I don't have enough money to pay my whatever you have to pay. But when you just surrender that and you stay in alignment with your truth and you speak your truth, if that relationship should go, if that job, you know, that person should fire you. I do believe you, when you surrender, you are stepping into the fold. And this or something better will appear. And that is the mantra that I teach people, is to say this or something better will appear. And when you believe that, it happens because you just see it.
I think if I'm going to wax a little nostalgic on one of my professional experiences, I was told after toiling in big law, and I mean, I'm talking about billable hours nearing 3,000. This is where you're never not working. I was short bonused and told there was no partnership track for me. And I knew people that were intellectually lightweight compared to me and big butt kissers that were getting full bonuses plus. And it was dressed up in this language of meritocracy, which is mythology, right? And I said, I have to leave and I don't want to be here anymore. And it was in the bottom of the market. Well, I went through about 4 years of identity crisis because I thought who I was what I did, was my job. And it was because a lot of the external had told me that that was what was valuable about me.
And what you're talking
about, the title, that the work, the salary, all of that. That those external demonstratives were that proved that I was valuable.
And that's part of the way we become empowered. I call it the locus of control. When we can start bringing that locus of control back to ourselves, listening to that inner truth, that voice within, instead of believing our identity is I'm an athlete, like you were talking about earlier, or this job makes me who I am, or it's this income I have, or this lifestyle that I have that makes me who I am. When we can detach from all of that and just listen to our truth and be our truth, it all unfolds.
And that, it took me a while to get there, but I realized that that place was toxic. It did not align with my values. It was not who I wanted to be. It wasn't who I wanted to become. That none of those things lined up. And no wonder, guess what I was? Sick.
Yeah.
I was an insomniac. I had like debilitating muscle spasms. My blood pressure was through the roof. I was depressed and anxious all the time. I was on 5 different medications. Finally, it occurred to me, you know, those like moments of clarity, looking back on that. There is no job that should require me to take 5 medications so that I can continue to do the job. Maybe the problem isn't me or my body or my brain. It's the freaking job. You fill in the blank for you. The problem isn't me or my emotions or my brain. The problem is fill in the blank. The job, the boss, the partner.
Or what if we even said the job was that you weren't in alignment with your truth? It's not even that we've got to place the blame on the other person. It's that you're not in alignment.
Yes. And I don't mean blame. Mm-hmm. I just mean like, hey, this is not
working
for me, and there's nothing wrong with me saying that. We'll be back with more in a moment. 844-967-2789. Mark and Nancy, I see you on the line. We're going to go right to the phones. 844-967-2789. Here on the Maggie Dawn Show with my dear friend and professional coach extraordinaire, Susan K. Worley, here on the Civic Media Radio.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry into something new or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to this special episode of The Maggie Dawn Show. This is a pre-recorded best of episode highlighting some of our favorite guests. We hope you'll enjoy.
No more hand-holding for me. I'm just a girl, little old me. Welcome back to The Maggie Dawn Show. It's our last segment of the day. My thanks to Susan K. Worley for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
So much fun. You can join us for this last segment, 844-967-2789. Nancy, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. Say hi to Susan.
Hi, Susan. Hi, Maggie. Thanks for discussing this topic. This really hits home. I'm a woman in her 50s, and I kind of call it the princess syndrome. When I was a young girl, you know, we dreamed of being married and being taken care of. And I remember my first real job after college. And I remember the HR person said, well, you're really lucky to get into this job.
Oh.
And ended up taking the lower amount of money and kept the job for 20-some years. And kind of like what Maggie did with anxiety medication and everything, and really questioned my self-worth. And finally, about 6-7 years ago, another job came open. I applied, was offered it. Instead of taking the low amount, the minimum amount, I requested the maximum amount plus.
Woo-hoo!
And I was fortunate to get it.
You go, girl.
But I hope women of all ages understand their value, their worth. I mean, whether you are taking a stay-at-home mom taking care of kids or elderly parents or out in the workplace or everything, you are valuable. And we have to be strong internally.
Wow. Thanks. Well said.
Thanks so much, Nancy. And congratulations to you. I hope you continue to advocate for yourself in the workplace and outside of it. Ladies, men apply for jobs that they're not qualified for all the time. They're like, oh, I don't mean half of those qualifications.
I'll figure it out as we go.
Men in classrooms, they don't know the answer. Hands going up, all that kind of stuff. We could talk tactically. I want to talk thematically about solutions. Again, we've outlined a couple of them. Frame shift. Your emotions aren't things to suppress. They're windows of insight that help you understand needs. Anger, frustration, that's a key that there's a need that's not being met. What is it? And then third and fourth, expressing needs or expectations is okay. Boundaries and saying no should be part of your vocabulary. If you're never saying no, check yourself, ladies, because you need to get there, right?
And listen to your gut. Your gut is your unconscious brain. And so you know your truth. And if it's hard for you to speak your truth or act upon it, it usually is because of a perceived attachment to the outcome of safety and security, love and belonging. You somehow are giving your power away instead of bringing it back to yourself. This or something better. This or something better.
Let's go to the phones. Nick, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. Say hi to Susan. What do you have this afternoon?
Hey, Maggie. How are you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to give my little perspective, because I just accepted a new job from my old job because it became kind of a toxic work environment. And I'm not going to name names at all, but basically the rules kept changing and changing and changing. And then my boss, who is still my friend, we've been friends for over 12 years. She asked, why are you really leaving? And she's a Game of Thrones fan like I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I keep hearing the client wants, the client wants, the client wants, the client wants, even if it's stupid. And finally, I just said, F the king, you know?
Yeah.
And then she actually looked down on our teams meeting and she said, Nick, I get it.
Yeah, that is so powerful, Nick. Thanks. One, I think, experience that certainly Susan and I have had is that in certain markets and sectors, the client is used to excuse all kinds of abuse. Not okay. And as a legal matter, employers are responsible for harassment and abuse that clients or vendors basically expose their employees to.
Well, and let's talk about the root cause of that. The root cause of that is usually the owners are attached again to the outcome, which is the fiscal piece of it. Whether they have a loan in the bank and they have to meet their EBITDA, or they just want to have a larger profit margin, they are attached to wanting that and therefore are asking you
to accept things that should be unacceptable.
Exactly.
That little piece there, right? There's such a key to that. Clients are to be managed. And if you're a business owner, you got to manage the clients. You got to set expectations clearly. When somebody constantly moves the goalposts, that's a form of gaslighting. Beware, right?
And that's why I say when I work with leaders, I want to increase their gut intelligence, because gut intelligence is the wisdom to know the truth and the guts to do something about it. And if leaders aren't doing that at a high level with their clients, guess what kind of culture you're going to be working in? And that's exactly what you described.
Susan, where can people find you if they want to engage with you and learn more about how to be an effective leader?
You bet. They can go to my website, bizremedies.com. That's bizremedies.com. Or just find me on Facebook, Susan K. Worley, K-A-Y.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for being here. I've got a couple closing thoughts. There is no woman that I know that has lived all of her days on this earth setting healthy boundaries, expressing needs and expectations, understanding emotions and expressing them in a healthy way. It's the human condition, and it can happen for men. This happens for people of color. It happens in the LGBTQ plus community. The key is that these are practiced things. We don't come out of the womb knowing how to do this. A lot of how we are acculturated tell us that these things are actually bad. There's a great book out there. It's called The Myth of Normal by a doctor that talks a lot about this. But we can practice these things and bring them into our daily lives in little bits. It starts with tiny little bits. If you are never saying no, check out where your boundaries are. Check out where your needs are. Are they being met? And start small, because if this ain't a light switch.
Start at the restaurant by saying the food was cold.
Yes. How many folks do you know they get sat by the kitchen or the food's cold or bad?
Or I asked for this medium rare and it's well done.
Yes. Start small. Build your boundary muscle. Build your expectation muscle. And in doing so, build your voice. I hope you feel empowered from this afternoon with Susan K. Worley and Maggie Dawn here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back next week with more. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Roll into the holidays and celebrate with fun food and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. The holidays are on the way, and Foxview Lanes is celebrating with their holiday party on Saturday, December 2nd. The celebration includes live music from The Unexpected at 8 p.m. and features a food buffet from 9 to 11 p.m. Foxview Lanes, 2440 West Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Book your lanes for Christmas and New Year's Eve before they're gone. Log on to foxviewlanes.com.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. 13 Israeli women and children were among the 24 hostages released by Hamas today as part of an agreement with Israel, which released 39 Palestinian prisoners and instituted a four-day ceasefire. More from CBS's Erica Brown.
Danielle Aloni and her 5-year-old daughter, Amelia, are among those freed.
Her brother Moran is excited for her freedom, but he still doesn't know if his other sister Sharon, her husband, and her three-year-old twin children are alive or still being held as hostages.
You know, the moment that you wake up and you're not sure if what happened yesterday is a part of a dream or not, that's still how I wake up.
No Americans, including Abigail Moore-Edan, are among the first group released.
The UN said 130.